Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everyone. It's Chuck Bonnewell and Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up.
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Chuck, coming live today from the world headquarters of the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle, putting the final touches on the June edition. Want to bring up for, our good friend. She was a part of the Dave Williams administration, longtime grassroots activist, a fighter for parental rights, Darcy Shaining, to talk about the 2025 legislative session. Hey, Darcy, welcome. Thanks for joining the show again.
Hey, Darcy.
You guys.
So, you know, we expect the Democrats to basically screw us and to try to destroy Colorado, and they did. But at the last count, I saw 8 of 12 Colorado Republican senators were flunking the Liberty scorecard. I'm not sure about the House. But it seems to me that this session particularly, the Republican senators... I mean, they might as well have been Democrat senators. I mean, I know you follow that stuff. You get involved in testifying and getting people to testify. Kind of your overall thoughts on 2025.
Okay, so for me, and I'm sure a lot of viewers would agree, 2025 seems to have been the year where we fell into the trap of working with the Democrats, right? So 2024 was bad. 2023 was bad. There were all kinds of insane bills. And we've always had Republicans that jump on Democrat bills. But now our state has become so far left that these Republican legislators have forgotten who they worked for. And so their primary job has now become to get their name on bills and to pass legislation.
Yeah. And what I saw, they passed like 500. It's ridiculous. And, you know, Darcy, you bring up a really good point that there was a time when the Democrats, okay, they were Democrats, but it wasn't like crazy, right? I mean, you know, banning guns, like protecting sex offenders and pedophiles, things like that, right? But they were at least, maybe we kind of disagreed. And so there you could kind of see maybe a certain amount of bipartisanship. But the Democrats have gone so far dark that for Republicans, I mean, you got to draw the line somewhere. And when they keep moving the line and Republicans keep being, oh, well, we're going to be in the center. We're not anywhere near the center anymore, are we?
No, I mean, it's not even close. And so this whole notion of, well, we have to get more Republicans elected so that we could stop bad legislation and we could push good legislation. No, we have to get good Republicans elected because a vast majority of the Republicans that we have right now working for us, they would do less damage if they just didn't go to work.
Yeah, exactly. Well, talk about, because I know you were involved.
Yeah, what they take as their position, because I've certainly heard it before from some of them, that their job is to sign on to legislation, get it be deemed bipartisan, because the Democrats don't want to take all their blame for some of the really awful things. And make it a little less bad by signing on, which is a strange theory if you want to get become majority someday. I mean, it can't be just you're going to help them do a bill and make it slightly less bad because the practical matter, they'll factor that in, make the bill even worse, and then take off what they didn't want to do anyway to get your support. But that's the mindset. And it's you know, when I was a lobbyist down the Capitol 20 years ago plus, the Republicans would sit around and laugh that they had to go back to the boondocks where they were elected from and feed the yahoos red meat. How they stood up for this, how they fought for that, how they were so tough on Tabor and everything else. And they would just yuck it up. Now, these days, I'm in the boondocks here in Adams County. When they come back, It's sort of revolting
They
to
don't even
watch.
come
They don't
back.
have too many of them, but it's just just stay down there. Don't come back.
Well, just don't go to work in the first place.
Stay home. I mean, just stay home because it hurts us every time that those Republicans are signing onto these terrible bills. It hurts us because that goes out into the media. And then people say, oh, well, this is bipartisan legislation. Oh, well, this is how the Republican Party is in Colorado. And that's just not true. They're not working for us. So
No.
the party.
Well, and we talked on the show before, and I think RhinoWatch had a thing on this too, where the Republicans don't get very many chances where they can like exert any power. But there was a bill, and it involved the budget process, right? And they needed four Republicans to get the vote to kind of move this budget bill forward. And the Republicans, rather than say, "Okay, finally we have a chance," they just voted for it. They didn't even try to argue. They didn't even, like Chuck said, they didn't even try to make it less bad or anything else less bad. I mean, given again, the parental rights bills, the gun bills, all the stuff we have going on there, they just fold. And I don't, do you talk to, I mean, why do they do that, Darcy? Do we know?
I mean, there's different reasons. So as I look into the different legislators have different reasons for signing on to this. And the bill you're talking about, the orbital bill, marijuana tax, it reallocated money into the long bill so that they could pass the long bill. Now, obviously, we know the long bill is going to pass, right? It passed. How many days it takes to pass or how much negotiations we're able to get out of it, that's kind of up in the air. Now, I'll be honest, we wouldn't have gotten anything, right? But like, why, when we've got House Bill 1312, as Chuck is saying, back, 10 years ago, you would have seen Republicans saying, look, I fought for 1312. I tried to stop the long bill. I tried to stop this. I tried to do that. And throwing that red meat to their constituents. Now all we're seeing is they're signing on to all the other bills, and then they'll take 1312 and make a social media post and, talk to Fox News about it. And they're like, well, look, I'm so conservative. Okay. Meanwhile, you've signed on to anti-gun legislation, anti-family education, anti-charter school legislation. So what is it worth that they run their mouths for a bill that's obviously going to pass?
And then they do weasel things. I mean, we had Senator Barb Kirkmeyer inserted into the Democrats needed her help to get their bizarre vacancy committee bill. And what does she do? Well, she strikes a deal with them to insert some language that she hopes is going to make it harder to opt out. And I mean, what's she doing that for even, I mean, that's just, I don't know. Again, she's working with the Democrats to screw Republicans.
Well, those two bills, the was it 1315 and 1319? So those two bills that were created, as we know, to keep Vicky Tonkins out of and to ensure that unaffiliated voters are helping choose our vacancy candidates. I mean, they were propped up and they were supported by Rose Puglisi and Barb Kirkmeyer. And I mean, they are so bad. Like I tell everybody, look, every bill this year that they passed was bad, but those two are the worst because they're just bringing in more people that are going to vote like that. So when that orbital bill came up and those five legislators jumped on, one was Bradfield, one was Rose. I know Kirkmeyer jumped on in the Senate. There's ulterior motives there, and it's what the donors want. The donors that are tied back to Anne Schutz and the Koch brothers and all the people that we know, Rocky Mountain Voice now, Heidi Genau, all that whole big Republican complex. That's all. I mean, that's what this is. That's what these bills are. So the orbital bill, even Senate Bill 86, that protections for users of social media, that Governor Polis vetoed. I mean, we Republicans standing strong against that bill.
Right. Well, I mean, that's what we talked about in the show, too. And I think what Lisa Frizzell in Douglas County, Douglas County has some of the worst offenders. So this was a bill that what it would have done is it would have basically the government would have told Facebook and social media accounts, OK, you police everything and you report people who like post offensive content. And we just got over that. We just got Trump and Elon Musk freeing us from that kind of nonsense. And so the Colorado legislature wants to hand it back to them. And we had Republicans signing on. And again, it's crazy. That was a bill that was too radical, even for Governor Polis, but we had Republicans supporting it.
Right. So what do you think the motives are there? It's the donors. It's the organizations that these Republicans are tied to. And it's ego. It's I want my name on a bill. I want my name on something. I want the Democrats to like me. Look, you know, Ken DeGraff is good at this. And so is Scott Bottoms. I wouldn't want my name on anything that these psychos. Yeah. Like, why would you want to be associated with these people? So when they say, oh, it's a bipartisan bill, it's a bipartisan bill. I mean, we're like two away from a supermajority now. We're in a super minority last year. There's no such thing as a bill. They don't need us to pass their legislation.
Well, and we've seen how far they've gone, right? We've seen how totally far left and they control it. And there was a time, I think, when Democrats kind of worried about voters. And, you know, and so they would have kind of toned things back. You know, I mean, there was a time when we had the gun recalls, right? But you don't have that anymore. And so the only thing we have are Republicans at least fighting, right? And I get, you're not going to win, but you can at least fight. You can make a big deal about it. And rather than standing up and saying, okay, it's a bipartisan bill, you can. And as you said, they're kind of, they'll stand up and the bills that are going to pass anyway, so they have nothing to lose. And the donors don't care, because I think you're absolutely right. It all comes back. The donors have a few things they want. And as long as they get those passed, they don't care. It's just so disappointing. And then you see people like Brandi Bradley, Stephanie Luck, Scott Bottoms, Ken DeGraff, these guys fighting hard. And then they get undercut by their own Republican colleagues.
Well, right. And that's why, I mean, that's why we lose those good Republicans, because right. You hear it in Brandi's voice. You can hear it in all of their voices. It's like, why am I going to work every day to fight my own colleagues? And, you know, Brandi and I discussed this recently. She overheard, I forget which legislator it was, but I think I'm not even going to say, because I don't want to say the wrong name, but he said, let's just vote this through. Let's just vote this education funding bill through, because I want to have dinner with my wife and kids tonight. And I'm telling you, Julie, I've heard that a million times. I've heard it over and over and over. And as somebody who's close with several of these legislators, I mean, how do you look at these people in the eye? Like, Brandi's exasperated, exhausted, and you've got... Right. Guys saying, like, I want to go home and eat my pork chops, then quit.
Get it. It's not like they work from January to, you know, to the end of beginning of May anyway. It's not like they have this thing. Well, let me, do you want to name any names?
You know, have you ever thought, and I've given it some thought, about dissolving the Republican Party? So there is no Republican Party in Colorado. You know, we'd have to allow the federal ones that remain kind of with national, you know, they can just run under the national, they can run under the Americans for Prosperity
party.
Party. But just get rid of it. I mean, what's the point? Why be the Washington Generals? The Harlem Globetrotters have to pay the guys on the Washington Generals to go around and pretend to be the opposition. Why are we paying to pretend we're the opposition? Why not just dissolve the thing and get it over with? And it would save a lot of time. And we'd have you'd probably have a more conservative legislature, because then it'd just be the various factions of the Democratic Party fighting against each other. And we could be part of the, you know, more conservative Democratic faction. I mean, what is the point of... We have our esteemed Britta Horn, party chairman, saying we'll take no positions on anything. All we are here for is to, and literally, all we're here for is to get people Republicans elected, even if they're Democrats. I mean, we don't care what they stand for. We don't care what they believe, as long as they've got a quote unquote R by their name. And so if you're on the list, and since Julie and I are on the SEC list, every day she's saying, okay, yeah, I think today was Lauren Boebert. We gotta get, oh, the Democrats are gonna run the, a candidate. Send money and we'll give half of it to Lauren and the other half will go to us. For what purpose? I mean, if you want to give money to Lauren Boebert, give loan money to Lauren Boebert. But why would you give half of it over to an organization that doesn't do anything? It doesn't have any purpose. It can't really have enough money to hand out to people. It doesn't have any infrastructure. Honestly, why not become honest whores and just dissolve the party?
Well, you bring up a valid point. I mean, they're doing nothing. So the party right now exists to pay its closest friends and to support the organizations to which it is tied to. And so that's not helpful. It's destructive because it's taking donor money and doing things with those donor dollars that it doesn't help the party. So the party is hurting conservatism in Colorado at this point. And I'm all for, I have been talking to a couple of people and I'm all for forming a committee to push Coloradoans pushing to remove Space Force from Colorado. Because we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. And the Republican legislators that work for us from every level on down to city council, they don't deserve to have this important asset in their state. If they're going to sail our rights down the river and vote against us, then we need to get that over to a state like Alabama that deserves it, that respects the Second Amendment, that respects families. And these legislators should have to deal with the fallout, the economic fallout of
Right.
bad
Well,
they
and because you're right, they just wander around talking and say, oh, we saved it, we saved it. Well, let me ask you, because I was going to, I mean, who are, if you want to name some of the, and maybe you don't know, so I don't mean to put you on the spot, but some of the worst legislative
Give us the
offenders.
worst of the worst.
So Kirkmeyer is the worst.
Well, yeah.
We know that she's running for governor. We know that she's got plans. I mean, she is on more Democrat bills as a co-prime sponsor than anyone in the Senate. As far as the House goes, it's Puglisi. She's on more Democrat bills as a co-prime sponsor than anyone. And these bills are garbage. And Lundeen, he's not far behind. Lundeen co-sponsored, not co-prime, but co-sponsored the name of the bill. The name of it was I don't know what it was. Allowing nonprofits to present to students. That's Senate Bill 284. Lundeen's brother-in-law, Brad Miller, is an attorney that helps open charter schools and tries to try, people have their issues with him, but he is a conservative attorney that tries to elevate school choice. So for Lundeen to co-sponsor a bill that allows private LGBTQ organization to come in and talk to our charter schools, I mean, it's outlandish.
Well, and let's be clear. That's what the point of that bill is. They would make it be like, oh, we want like the Girl Scouts to come in or something like that. No, it's for Planned Parenthood. It's for LGBTQ groups to come in. And otherwise, you wouldn't need a bill saying it, right? If it was just a common sense education thing, everybody'd be like, oh, okay, right? Let's do that. But no, it's insane.
It's a red herring. It's no different than the civics bill back in 2022, 2020, 2023 that tricked all the Republican legislators. And they're like, well, we're going to get social studies in and we're going to get all these great requirements. No, you live in Colorado bringing to your kids in a school via a new bill is not going to be a good thing.
Good. No.
So these legislators, I mean, Puglisi and Kirkmeyer and Lundeen, Armagost is another one. He's on almost every single one of these Democrat bills or voting for them. They need to get back to what we hired them to do. I mean, House District 14, especially, Julie, is not like Kirkmeyer's district. House District 14, that was previously occupied by Shane Sandridge, he was running, you know, bills to stop the transitioning of children. He was running bills to protect the sanctity of marriage. He was doing all of that because it's a district where you can. So is House District 9 or 20, where I live in Monument. So Jarvis and Rose should be working together to push the most conservative legislation. Now, we know it's going to fail, right?
But you could push it. And the time is prime. I mean, I think people are tied to it. There was yet another Jefferson County school teacher arrested for sexually assaulting a child. I mean, and Jefferson County school policies protect the teacher at the expense of the student and the parents. And what did we have in the legislature? Didn't they pass? There were attempts to stiffen penalties for being a pedophile, a person in a position of trust, and that got diluted. You got to ask yourself, why would anyone want to lessen the penalty for a pedophile, right?
Exactly. Well, they say that it's redundant and it already exists and whatever, but it didn't. I mean, if you look at the bill, there were clear provisions in that bill that didn't exist in the educational system prior to its writing. So, I mean, it's just an excuse. They want to protect the grooming, the transing of children. And that's why we need our Republicans to stand up for us, because what's happening here is so unbelievably off the rails that's why they have to push conservative things. That's why they have to make some noise. There has to be a counterbalance. And it's by and large gone away over the last year or two.
And people,
well, let me give you the John Caldera Independence Institute line. John would say, you know, great. In some rural districts out on the plains or maybe over on the west slope somewhere, you can have, you know, conservatives, what you'd call conservatives and so forth, Second Amendment advocates and pro-life people. But that just doesn't sell in the Denver suburbs or anywhere on the Front Range. So what we have to do is we have to be a broad enough party.
Big tent.
Because parties win by addition. And we'll kind of scuttle the pro-life stuff. That's annoying anyway. And Second Amendment, you know, what do you need that for? And just have some ones that'll support our businesses or something. And so that, you know, that's the way to prosperity and growth for the Republican Party. But here's the contrary argument. The Democrats have so much money. And I mean so much money. It just gushes everywhere. And, you know, it comes from Act Blue. It comes from Arabella Partners. You know, that it just pours in from Switzerland. It pours in from everywhere. They can't give it to candidates, but they can give it to propositions. That they don't just go, okay, where is a very conservative county? You go, oh, I don't know, in the metro area that's kind of big and it's prosperous and it would have a lot of, I know, Weld County.
Yeah.
Weld County is about as red as they can, lots of money and everything else. So they go, okay, let's start something called Unite Colorado. We'll go to Catherine Murdoch, the far left daughter-in-law of Rupert Murdoch, and we'll pour money in. And we'll get all the conservatives defeated. So you have people like Barb Kirkmeyer. Barb Kirkmeyer comes from a very red district. But, you know, with enough money, you can get anybody elected. So she gets elected in all Weld County. I mean, they at the, as you probably saw it down at the SEC meeting, they proudly walked around with their rhino mass on. I mean, there's and Sheriff Steve Reams, you know, he was once at one time our great, you know, the great sheriff, Superman, and now he spends most of his time going on Peter Boyle's show with the former chair of the Republican Party, Dick Wadhams. Okay, great. So now he is a sidekick of Dick Wadham's.
Yeah.
So
Which
you
is not
have
a good
your
thing.
hero.
Well, what's going on in Weld County, Darcy, do you think?
Well, I mean, it's like El Paso. It's we're
Exactly.
a population shift. So the Democrats, as we know, I mean, they're the affordable housing scam. We're moving more Democrats here every day. The two top states that Coloradoans are moving from are Illinois and California. So they're intentionally shifting our population, and they're doing that through several mechanisms, through affordable housing, but also because we've become a beacon. We've become a safe haven for crazy, for progressive policies. I've been posting a lot of, showing these trans, these crazy, outright crazy people that are coming here, and they've got funds. They've got funds set up through Denver organizations to bring these people here. So not only is the population shifting, but then you've also got, like Chuck said, they'll tell you, okay, we need to welcome these Republicans that vote against us because it's a game of addition, not subtraction. Okay, so you're adding Democrats, right? You might have moderate Democrats. But when you do that, who are you subtracting? You're subtracting the good Republicans that thought that they had a party to identify with, and they don't. They don't have a party that they can trust. So it's this simultaneous phenomenon where, like I said, we've got more Democrats coming in, and then we've got weak Republicans that are saying, okay, since there's more Democrats, that's who we have to bring in.
It's
No.
well, and as you pointed out, and that's an excellent point. And the Democrats who are coming here, and it is by design, are more crazy. They are more radical. I mean, I've talked with what Ted Harvey was saying. Some of the way they've changed the pedophile laws in Colorado, it makes it a sex trafficking haven, right? And again, it's not a coincidence that yet another Jeffco teacher was arrested for sex assault on a child. When their policy allows you to declare a kid homeless as a teacher, then you can bring the kid home to help them understand their gender. It's like, okay, well, what do you think is going to happen? Who do you think is going to be drawn to Jefferson County? Who do you think is going to come to Colorado? They look at this, and I think, and as you said, and it's not just coincidental. It's by design, I think.
It's totally by design. And I mean, and that's why I say, it's time to start looking at things like Space Force. It's time to really start looking at what's going on in Colorado because, I'm going to compare it to Monument. So, Monument was always a pretty conservative town, about 10,000 people. And a lot of us started to notice that there were more and more Democrats moving here, just like everybody else, right? But my good friend Derek Arahe and I talked about this, and we said, what can we do? Well, it's there's a million little things we can do, but let's make Monument hostile to Democrats. Let's make it to where trans people don't want to come here. Trans kids don't want to go to our schools. People feel like their neighbors might have too many guns. Yeah, let's do that. And I think that's the state that Colorado is reaching. As Rebecca Kelty said on wherever it was the other day, and they got really upset with her. It's time to really start burning it down because our Republicans are not standing up for us. This state is in total decay. I mean, if you didn't live here, Julie, would you move here with kids?
I read a thing. It was, and not even talking about the kids. This is a U.S. the Chamber of Commerce, the Colorado Chamber of Commerce, had a meeting, and they basically said Colorado is now ranked. Forget all the other stuff, but Colorado is now ranked among the worst in the country for business, as being friendly to business, as having we have too many regulations. So we're not only screwing over parents under Colorado, we're screwing over businesses. So, and I think, and that's advantageous because you don't want businesses coming here because they kind of pay attention to what's going on. You want a bunch of people who don't pay attention to what's going on, so the radical Democrats can do whatever they want. And you're right, Darcy and Chuck. I don't know that we dissolve the party, but it is. And I think that's what we wanted to have you on to talk about, because the legislators then go back to their districts and they say, "Oh, I fought the hard fight," and it's like, "No, you didn't. No, you didn't."
No, you didn't. And they need to start feeling the consequences of their actions. Like Dave Schultz has always said, until they feel the consequences of their action, until they feel some pain, they're going to keep doing this to us because they've got their comfy seats, their 5 month of the year job where they're like, oh, I'm an elected official, their donors, their donations, and life is great for them. It's all of us that are suffering. Businesses are, you know, being oppressed under all these laws, the schools, the kids, everything. And so that's why with what's happened in 2025, you know, you ask me who's the worst legislators. What are we going to see in 2026? Like, are they just going to...
Because you know they're going to come up with more stuff. That's right. Hey, listen, Darcy, we run out of time. But well, we'll have you back because you do such a good job keeping track of this. Thank you for coming on, and thank you for helping.
I appreciate you coming on and sharing the news.
Shining a light on him. Darcy, thank you. Appreciate it.
Take care.
All right, Darcy Shaning, guys. If you follow her on Twitter, she's great. It's Darcy4, the number 4CO, Darcy4CO. Wanted to switch a little bit now, Chuck, to some national stuff. You've been having fun reading about, on a national level, because it's kind of fun. Here in Colorado, it's kind of depressing sometimes to talk about it.
But it is
so fun to talk about it nationally, because nationally, the Democrats and the bureaucrats and the deep state people, every day there's more meltdowns, right? And it's only May. So who knows what it's going to be like by, you know, September or something like that. But you've noticed, so all of these hundreds of Department of Justice lawyers who all tried to persecute Trump and Catholics and parents and January 6 people are now being forced to quit or are quitting in droves. But they need therapy and they need all of this. And they form their own like little therapy group, right?
Well, there are 115,000, give or take a few, U.S. Department of Justice employees nationally. Mm-hmm. That's a big force. That's a lot of people. And within that are a lot of lawyers. Within Maine Justice, which is D.C. and D.C., there's about 15,000 employees. Now, many of them, during the COVID and stuff, all of them, you know, started going down to Florida, they started go to play, and then they just telecommute. And that was everybody, you know, the Democratic Party was just for fun, just telecommute. And it doesn't matter where you live. If it doesn't matter where you live, then you won't live in D.C. You'll live in some nicer place. But during this, I mean, for the last 100 years or whatever it is, the Justice Department has basically done whatever it wants to do. It runs the way it wants to run. And it prosecutes crimes that it wants to, you know, if they want to go after, you know, the Democrats love to go after FARA violations, federal agents, Foreign Agents Registration Act. And they had a whole section on it. Now, up to 4 or 5 years ago, there was no section because basically FARA was not considered terribly important. If somebody was ostensibly a FARA agent, they just make them register, and that would sort of be it. But you could persecute Republicans with FARA because two things. Anything can be considered lobbying activity if you want to, including, and they included it, writing an article that's pro-North Korea. If North Korea somehow compensated you. So they could go after an incredible number of people. And if you registered, see, that was the key, if you registered, then they could attack you and say, well, you were dishonest on your FARA application because you didn't indicate this or you didn't indicate
but
that.
But all of that has changed, though, now, right?
Yeah, so it was so beautiful. It's like the Logan Act, you know, the 1798 Logan Act that they got Flynn on. If you try to influence beyond the shores our foreign policy. Now, of course, Republicans don't go after that, but clearly, you know, the people who went down to El Salvador could have been.
Right. But tie it back to this melting down committee.
Well, I'm getting it to that, Julie.
That's like, and then Columbus discovered America.
And then Columbus, and he didn't register. So we've got him in a posthumous basis of violating the FARA Act. So they've been happy. They've been fat, dumb, and happy The key ones, the most important ones, were the security, national security, and the Civil Rights Division. So they've gone through every president. They went through Trump the previous time. They through Bush's. They never changed. They didn't have to. They were not, maybe some of the national top stuff changed, but everything else didn't. So they considered themselves very, very important people, and they got great expertise and whatever there are. And then all of a sudden, Trump came in this time, and boom, he's been throwing them out left and right. These people making $300,000 or $400,000 a year. They had the best jobs in the world, and he was firing them. He fired the pardons attorney who headed up all the pardon ones the other day. They asked her, can Mel Gibson get his gun rights back? And she said, no, he's a male chauvinist pig. So they fired her. And she said, wait, you fired me? Yeah, you fired me? And so they've been going through, and they said, you worked on January 6th. Well, of course I did. You're fired. You can't fire me. We just did. And they go, well, you can't fire. Okay, you're reassigned to Alaska. So they all the people have been fired, headed by a woman named Stacey Young, form the Justice Connection, to provide moral, ethical, and financial support for all those people who are in the still in the
All
justice.
the deep state swamp rats who got fired.
Yeah,
Even
and
deep
they,
state swamp rats, Chuck, have bad days and they need support.
yes, and so what they came up with a list, this incredible day by day, some days not included, but for first 100+ days of basically awful things that the Trump administration did to fire, reassign, get rid of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these worthless people. And they've been flying out the door. And every one of them that they'd cite, they'd have a hyperlink to a newspaper or a magazine article on it. So, I mean, this is catnip for conservatives. It's just catnip. It's like listening to the 2016 election returns from MSNBC or something. It's just great. So you can just read for all these people who've been there for 20, 30 years, have been let go to their amazement and disgust and disbelief that this can be happening to them. So Justice Connection, go on there, check out the first 100 days plus cataloging, and you can spend an entire night having fun reading about Justice Department
Them whining.
lefties getting fired or replaced or kicked out.
Well, and I think the point is, and you and I have talked about this, and I want to kind of talk a little bit about some of the other stuff Trump is doing too, is that these people, I mean, Trump, who knows what happens after Trump, right? But these people, like you said, there are hundreds of people gone, and that's going to be hard to rebuild. Along with some of the other stuff he's doing, you look at Politico was forced to put out a headline that says, okay, we told you the world is going to end with the tariffs, and it didn't. Inflation numbers came out. April consumer reports indicate, the lowest rate of inflation in 4 years, which is, oh, coincidentally, when Trump was president. The economy is booming, prices are down. Trump is traveling around the world, negotiating these tariffs. So all of the awful things they said were going to happen aren't going to happen. Instead, manufacturing is coming back. He what and made ma a massive speech in the Middle East saying, we're done nation building. We're just going to make deals now. We're going to let the other countries do whatever it is they want to do, right? We're not going to tell them how to run or what their morals are or anything like that. We're just going to, if there's a good deal that we can get from them, we're going to make it. I mean, all of this stuff that he's
What
doing.
makes you miss those wonderful days with Joe on the beach at Rehoboth Beach? I mean, those wonderful halcyon American days when Joe was working for the people from the beach on his beach chair.
But some of
And
these
we
are
were
sort
getting
of.
so much done. We were respected all over the world
Well, and the media,
for our stuff.
they pick up on some of these, like you say, they'll focus on this atrocity or that atrocity that Trump is doing. But meanwhile, and he's not quiet about it, is they just don't cover it. I think he's making some fundamental changes that are going to be hard and hopefully impossible to reverse when he's gone. Like you said, they can't just go and hire all of these corrupt Department of Justice people. They can't just go unnegotiate all of the deals that Trump is making, right? They can't just tell Boeing, you know, and all the Mercedes, it's now going to start manufacturing here. They're not just going to pack up and go away. I think that, and that's all I think is good. And I think that there are just, I mean, I don't know, what do you think? Just a lot of very fundamental changes that are occurring that I think are going to have ripple effects and are going to be hard for the Democrats to undo.
Well, they can't undo the psychological deconstruction of the governmental state. No longer will you kind of go, oh, USAID, oh, that's great. They're just helping people all over the world. Oh, gosh, look at this U.S. Institute of Peace. That's gee, they're doing peace. And all these NGOs and, oh, the National Endowment for Democracy. That must be good. They're overthrowing the populist regime in Lithuania. Oh, good. I mean, all of a sudden, it's been exposed that a large part of your government is one of two things. They're either trying to turn the rest of the world kind of gay, because they have lots of transgender programs in every country, you know, plays, everything else to kind of get them going. They're either, and trying to get rid of any populist government like in Brazil or anywhere else. And the other part of it is a grant-making thing. These huge things don't do anything. All they do is get $2.7 billion in, and then they get a consortium of left-wing Stacey Abrams type groups, and there's hand them $2.7 billion. And what they're supposed to do is, you know, reconfirm farming for gay people. You know,
well, and all they do is they just
do nothing. It's just,
but you just pay yourself. Well, you know, another aspect of that, I think, too, like you said, you can't, people have been red-pilled along with the media, right? People see for a variety and a variety of levels, just the lies that the media, I mean, you know, the media, the mainstream media has no credibility. Not only that, but the alternative media is rising and becoming more popular. And I think it's funny, you see people like Jake Tapper, all these people who helped cover up Joe Biden's decline are now writing books, and all of the Democrats, it's like piranhas, right? They're all eating each other, talking about, oh, I knew about Joe Biden's decline, or I didn't know, but you knew. I mean, it's funny. And I don't even think they realize, to me at least anyway, by writing about it, they're exposing themselves. It's like, well, you're complaining about it, but you were part of this, you know, scandalous cover up, right? And I don't know. To me, it's just bizarre. But I think even that people see. And so it's, you know, why would you buy a book from Jay Tapper?
God. I mean, he's doing yeoman-like work pretending that the Democrats were fooled by these Biden insiders who lied to them, and that they would have reported the truth. But getting through that maze that was put up before them, they had no choice. And only now Joe Biden is left office are the insiders willing to talk so they can report it to you.
So they're courageously reporting the truth now, and they're writing it in book form because they've all been fired because no one trusts it. Well, yeah, and all of that I think is good. And again, it's hard for the Democrats to compete against basic things. I mean, Trump frees up the energy. He frees up competition. And little things, though, like egg prices dropping, gas prices dropping, all of that, like people, the bottom line still becomes, are you better off now than you were before? And if the answer is yes, then I don't think you really care too much what Trump is doing or not doing in with a plane from Qatar, right? You just care, oh, okay, my life is better off now. And I think that the economic road that he's plowing for us also goes ahead. That's going to be hard to, I mean, it just, it's going to be like his last term where things just got better and better and better.
Well, but you know, they're all hoping and praying and doing whatever they can. You know, they plan to take back the House, which is, you know, doable because the Republicans have a, you know, handful lead and so forth, and then impeaching him for the remaining 2 years of his administration. If they lose the midterms for whatever reason, and it looks like they probably won't take back the Senate, Then they'll begin to panic, because then this hellscape of
Yeah.
Trump is going to kind of continue unabated.
Well, yet, what does Congress do really? I mean, you have to look periodically, you see stuff, and I have to admit, now again, Trump takes all the oxygen out of the room. So, but you look around, I don't think Congress is doing anything, are they? I mean, they have hearings
Well,
every so often.
I mean, basically, they're supposed to do two things. They're supposed to, one, come up with a budget and decide how our money is going to be spent, and two, investigate the agencies, the bureaucracy, to make sure it is performing effectively. Well, they haven't had a real budget for 20 years, 15 years. So they just have continuing resolutions. So they haven't really gone back and looked. Say, okay, is the department is the Institute of Peace really doing the job that it should be?
Well, and they're not,
And then the second one is, all they were ever investigating was Trump and Russiagate.
right. Well, and
And
even
so
now they.
Trump has been going on, and it really is sort of amazing. You say, okay, I'll get rid of this. I'll do this. I'll get rid of that. We'll do this and so forth. And normally you kind of go, well, no, that's not fair because you're just the executive branch. But everybody's so sick of Congress,
Right.
so sick of decades after decades after decades of never doing anything other
Right.
than passing, massive stimulus BS
Pork, yeah.
okay, we'll have the Inflation Control Act that inflates their, I mean, whatever they passed was awful.
Right.
And with the consent of, and even now, I mean, Mitch McConnell is truly exposing himself to being one of the worst things that ever happened to Washington.
But, well, and again, it kind of goes back to what you said with the red pill thing. So I think people look around, you don't even hear about Congress anymore. But meanwhile, Trump is accomplishing all this stuff. So you kind of think, well, what do we actually even really need them for? Then you turn around and you look at the courts, right? I mean, they've become basically worthless and they've just, all tied up amongst themselves. There was another federal judge that says now Trump can use the Alien Enemies Act to deport people, right? So you look at this, and if you're people, I mean, to me, you look at it, you're like, okay, Congress is worthless. They're not doing anything. Right? The courts, they're worthless too. They're so screwed up. One says this, the other says that. And Trump, meanwhile, just keeps kind of doing what he's doing. And it's sort of like, hey, look, the guy is getting stuff done and prices are down. Things seem calmer. Things, they keep saying the adult in the room. It's like Trump is not the crazy one. The Democrats are the crazy ones. You've got Bernie Sanders and AOC flying around complaining about oligarchies in oligarchy jets and then explaining, well, it's impossible for them to wait in line at the airport. And, I mean, I think Trump is just exposing all this stuff. And meanwhile, he just keeps plodding along, getting stuff done, and things keep getting better. I don't know. I think if you're Congress, in a way, it's like, okay, midterms, I mean, I know it matters, but, and even if they're going to impeach him, who cares
Well,
about that anyway?
if there's ever been a case to be made for changing our form of government from a democracy to a dictatorship, Trump is making it say, well, at least I don't make bad trade deals, or at least try to stop wars. I don't try to constantly get us, endlessly spending billions more in Ukraine for some bizarre reason.
Well, and here's the thing where Trump is good. I think he's not even really saying, I'm trying to stop wars. He's like, I'm trying to stop the United States spending in wars. If you guys want to have a war, go for it. The United States anymore isn't, we're not doing that. We're not telling you how to run your country anymore. We're just going to see, do you have something that would benefit us? Do we have something that would benefit you? And if so, we're willing to talk to you, right? Because everything else is just sort of nonsense, and you know what I mean? And it's, I go back to what I was saying earlier. It's like it's kind of hard to undo rapidly. Because I worry a lot about, particularly at the beginning, about what will happen when Trump is gone. Marco Rubio, JD Vance. I mean, I don't know, but Trump is a force of nature because you can just see JD Vance and Marco Rubio all of a sudden talking to Congress, right? I don't think Trump spends a lot of time worrying about Mitch McConnell anymore.
Well, Mitch McConnell is just a single senator. He no longer is the
Right.
leader of the
Well, I mean,
Republican
but.
Majority Leader, but it's well because of the filibuster you need 60 votes and you can't get 60 votes, that it's frozen except when the Democrats want to get something done, like all of its green energy stuff. Republicans can never get anything done. And really, the ultimate test is going to be the big, beautiful tax bill coming up.
Yeah.
Can Trump get that through this Leviathan? Because after that, everything will be subject to the filibuster rules, and you'll get nothing passed that isn't, a bipartisan compromise where the Republicans will get fleeced, and the bad parts of the bill will outweigh whatever good parts there are to it.
Yeah.
It's,
Some.
but you know, the existence of and Doge has had just its
Oh, that's been extreme.
unbelievable
That's
effect.
a whole other thing. Hey, listen
Doge
though.
has done what Congress is supposed to do, which is
Right.
look into these agencies, look into what they're doing. Are they doing a good job? If they're not, what can be done about it? But I mean, Doge is the latest of the Congress, and I love now how all the Democrats are threatening Republicans that if you arrest our wonderful Congress people who are assaulting ICE troops, you'll pay.
Hey,
You'll
listen,
pay.
we've got to wrap it up here. On Friday, that we're going to talk more about this whole tariff situation and how it plays out. We've got an economic expert, Carrie Lutz, is coming on with some interesting stuff. But that's going to do it for us this Friday. Chuck, I'll let you get back to work at World Headquarters
All right,
there.
I'll make the world a little better place in the next 20 minutes or so.
Okay. Hey, and thank you, everybody. We will see you all on Party Friday.
Bye-bye.